What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Arnies. We are two grease monkeys that like to divide our time between stealing VHS players and international espionage. I'm Matt Johnson. You can have any beer you want as long as it's Corona.
And I'm Keith Baker, and I do not owe you a 10-second car.
On today's show, we're going to do something a little new and weird. To put it simply, Keith and I are diehard fans of the Fast and Furious franchise. We will not be shamed for this. We talk about our favorite dumb moments, the best action beats, and where the franchise could go all the time. And that has inspired today's episode, Fast and Furious 11, or Fast and Furious X Part 2, or whatever you want to call it, I guess. Apparently is still coming out next year as of now. I'm kind of thinking it's going to end up being 2026, but we'll see. And we're going to predict what's going to happen. I think this will not only be fun, but really tricky because, Keith, it's been a wild morning for me. Because yeah. I found out a lot of new information in regards to all this that I had literally never heard. And I feel like I'm more in tune to this stuff than you. So maybe you heard about this, but I didn't. So this is going to be kind of weird, like lots of new stuff going on. Starting with, apparently, there's going to be a spinoff film called Hobbs and Reyes, which is going to come out to, and I guess that comes, that's going to come out first to resolve kind of that story, which we'll get into. And then 11, the final one, is apparently a new story while also being the final entry in the franchise. It seems like a lot has changed, I guess, during kind of the pre-production and production process of these movies. But we'll get into that a bit, and we will predict perfectly, nonetheless. So you know what? Let's just get started with a simple and important question, Keith. Why do you love the Fast and Furious franchise?
Ooh, man. That's a loaded question right there. Why do I love the Fast and Furious franchise? Maybe I should start with my history of it, and then I'll kind of break it down. So I first saw the first one, the Fast and the Furious, in theaters with my dad. He took me to see it. And I think I was like super into Hot Wheels at the time. You know, I was probably like 6 or 7 years old when it came out. So I was like, oh, I want to go see this car movie. My dad was like, well, there's this movie coming out all about racing. And he took me to see it. But this movie is like, it's PG-13, right? Maybe. Yeah.
I was going to say, whoa, that might have been a little raunchy.
Yeah, but, you know, I probably didn't catch, you know, half the innuendo that was in it. But I remember watching that, the first one in theaters. I was like, this is awesome. Like, I'm watching a bunch of cars just race around. As a kid, and that at that age, you don't pick up on anything as far as, like, characters and story or anything like that. You're just watching the cars race, and you're like, this is fun. And then you watch somebody die, and you're like, oh, my God, this guy just got shot. So yeah, I saw the first one in theaters, and then I guess I probably saw like every other one in theaters. I think I saw the fourth one in theaters, then I saw the seventh one, and then maybe, and I definitely saw the 10th one in theaters, and then the other ones I just saw as they came out, streaming or DVD, whatever time they were out at. But yeah, to answer your question, why do I love the Fast and Furious? It kind of goes back to our conversations from Roadhouse. You know, it's you can't take it too seriously. You know, if you try to take it too seriously, then they're going to be bad movies for you because they're not your Oscar worthy performances. There's no storyline that really makes sense at all in any of these movies. they would just pick from a hat of what they want to do. You know, with the character, I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll bring this character back, or we'll make this character go down this road, even though it wouldn't make sense at all for them to do that. It would be totally uncharacteristic of them to do this, but you know, we're going to have them go down this dark path. Or, oh no, actually this one bad guy, you know, has been trying to kill us the last 3 or 4 movies. We'll just make him a good guy now because we like him a lot. So they're just funny. They're funny to watch. The action in them is entertaining, watching the racing or watching the watching them do whatever stunts they got to do with the cars or planes or whatever they're in, watching their like totally unrealistic abilities, like action abilities, like they half of these people, we're gonna get into it later. I can't wait. Like, is your question is bringing up so many thoughts that I can't even articulate it in the right way. But to summarize it all, I love these movies just because they're just fun. They're fun to watch. They're fun to laugh at. The action is entertaining. The characters are so just ridiculous. I think overall it's just a good time, but we'll break it down more in detail later. But what about you?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I agree. in lockstep. It's just, they're dumb fun. And I think the fact that it's such a long-running franchise can, like, more and more contributes to that, because it's like, they're somehow maintaining this atmosphere of just really stupid, fun action and, like, goofy comedy and, like, wild character interactions. They've sustained that for, like, 10 mainline movies. There's a spinoff in there. There's some, like, random, like, shorts that follow certain characters. Like, they've kind of sustained that vibe for so long. I think it's also important to remember that, like, this franchise was considered garbage for the first four movies. And then kind of Fast Five comes out and people are like, whoa, hold on. They may have elevated their game a bit. Right. I think it's also, like, fun because that marks the time where all these, like, random side characters kind of came together for the first time. They formed the team that then that team carried through for all the entries up till now. So I think that's a big part of it, too. I don't think, like, they're great. I think there are some standouts. I think of something like Fast Six as, like, I think an actually, like, really amazing action movie, and it's, like, really good in its own right. But, I mean, I don't know about any of the rest of them being quality, but because they've, like, earned our, like, fandom, I guess, over the years, you just kind of go see them in theaters. You go see Fast 10, you watch it, and you're like, that really wasn't that great, but I still kind of loved every second in a weird way, if that makes sense. So they've earned our commitment and our fandom. So, I'm excited because we've had so many conversations, like, across the bar talking about this franchise, and now we're going to do it on the podcast. And I don't know if we've ever, like, tried to predict what would happen in, like, the next Fast and Furious movie, which I think is going to make this fun. Because we're going to talk about the staples, right? We're going to talk about what could the general plot be? What could, you know, their big mission in this one revolve around? Who's the villain? Because we're going to open a big can of worms when we get to that, because I don't think it's going to be Jason Momoa. Like, who's the villain going to be? Because it's always a wild choice. We're just going to kind of, like, patchwork together all of the best elements. We're going to do a greatest hits, kind of. Take our experience with the last fucking 10-plus movies, and we're going to try and create our own as the finale here. So I'm excited to do this. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, me too. There's so much to cover and unpack. But like you said, it's going to be tough to predict because, going back to the first one, you know, these guys were just L.A. underground street racers kind of doing petty crimes. And now they're working as informants for the FBI, CIA. They're going across the world. They're in a new country every 2 days. And it's hilarious. Yeah. Every movie now is just this crazy soundtrack and then them cutting to a new place like Dominican Republic. Bum, ba, bum, ba, bum. And then they'll go
Wiz Khalifa.
yeah, Wiz Khalifa'll start playing. And then they'll start playing, wasn't Pitbull by...
Pitbull's in like all of them. He's been Mr. Worldwide since Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, then it'll cut Antarctica, then Pitbull starts playing. Then it'll cut it'll cut to Budapest, and then like Rick Ross or somebody will start playing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it. It's so wild. But yeah, I think with that, Keith, let's do a little segue here. We don't need to do a spoiler warning unless you're somebody that's tuning into this. Like, I want to hear two nerds talk about why they like Fast and Furious. I mean, this is, I guess, usually the part in the show where we recommend people go watch something before listening to our episode. I tell everybody that, like, hasn't seen these movies whenever it comes up in conversation, I think you'll like them. I really do feel like they're hard not to like. If you're somebody that really only seeks out dramas, which I can respect that, then maybe not for you. But if you like action movies, if you like comedies, I don't know. It's kind of hard not to enjoy these for what they are. So if you're like, hold on, wait, I've been thinking about watching 11 Fast and Furious movies before listening to what the final one could be, I guess go do that and then come back and listen to the rest of this episode. All right, everybody, welcome to the main part of our show. It is time to predict what will happen and what Fast 11 will be, like, at all. We just don't know yet. So to start, let's do some background. I think this is important. We're not going to do our cast, crew, critical reception that we usually do, obviously, when it makes sense here. So just have a little background section, because as I was typing this out, like I said earlier, I gained so much new information, and I'm still kind of baffled by some of this. Let's get into this. So Fast 11 will be directed by Louis Leterrier, who is returning from Fast X. He's known for The Incredible Hulk, The Transporter, and Now You See Me. The idea of him being behind a Fast and Furious movie really makes sense when you read what he's known for. It'll be written by Christina Hodson, who's on a fucking like hot streak right now, and Oren Uziel. And the cast is everybody you would probably expect. All right, let's get into the good stuff here. So despite this franchise being a huge, huge box office success routinely for Universal, with multiple entries making over $1 billion, Fast X was actually only a modest box office success, which I think leads to an interesting bigger conversation. It cost a truly insane $340 million to make. Keith, we're talking more than Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame.
My gosh.
Like, those are like 250. This is 340. Yeah. And that makes this the eighth most expensive movie to make of all time of this recording. And you have to keep in mind, we have a couple avatars ahead of this. So it's like, what the fuck were they thinking? And at the box office, where things went a little sour, it made $715 million. So, if you account for marketing costs, this movie probably needed around $680 million just to break even. So even with the best estimates, this movie only made a profit of $35 million, which is nothing for these types of movies. For reference, and here's where things get even fucking crazier, Keith. I did not know this. Fast 9, which you have to keep in mind, was also delayed by a whole year because of COVID. Think about the costs of marketing and like delaying stuff associated with that. Still, at the end of the day, it only cost $200 million, and it made a little bit more than 10. So how the fuck does 10 cost more than $100 million more to make than 9? That is insane. And this is a big deal because originally, it sounds like the plan was to have Fast 10 be the start of a final trilogy, I guess, leading to the end of the franchise. But due to box office disappointments, they've confirmed that now there will only be one more, with Fast 11 being the official finale. But in another crazy twist, which I just read about, apparently there will be a spinoff first called Hobbs and Reyes, which will star Dwayne Johnson and Jason Momoa to continue the scene from 10's post-credits scene. But apparently that movie will conclude the Reyes arc. So it sounds like somehow 11 will be the final entry, like we said, but without that previous huge storyline, which contributed to a major cliffhanger at the end of 10. So that's going to be, I think, a little bit odd. And then Vin Diesel has talked about how the final film could be a bit of a throwback to the original, have kind of a single mission as the focus of the movie, and have one new antagonist. I also think, you know, it is important to acknowledge that in December 2023, like months after this movie came out, Vin Diesel was sued by a former assistant for sexual battery and retaliation for some pretty horrifying sounding events that allegedly took place in 2010 on the set of Fast Five. He's denied them. But I do wonder if producers or lawyers got involved and maybe decided to cut the franchise short and respond to this recent news as well. Not to get too dark or anything, but I do suggest anyone unfamiliar at least read the victim statements on the matter, because it is pretty heinous. So I guess what I'm saying is the decision to kind of cut this franchise down, have this weird spinoff first, which ends that storyline, and then do one more kind of final entry. It sounds like it could be like a combination of things. Maybe this news coming out, also the last movie just not doing nearly as well as they thought. So it sounds like there's a lot going on behind closed doors. So Keith, I know this is a crazy amount to unpack, and a lot of this, like we said, is brand new information.
Yeah.
So I know, again, another loaded question for you. What do you think? Like, hearing all this, what is your just like kind of general feelings and thoughts when you hear all that?
Yeah, well, first thoughts is, besides the whole possible sex allegation thing with Vin Diesel, before that, like years before that even came around, we've had all this drama with him, The Rock, Tyrese Gibson.
Good point.
I think now Jason Momoa got pulled into it. Vin Diesel seems to get...
Oh, my God.
Vin Diesel,
I really feel like, to your point, Keith, like, he has just dug such a hole. Like,
yeah.
after this franchise is over, I don't see him really going anywhere. One of the, not in a good way, but still, one of the funniest things I've read in recent years was after Fast 10 comes out, again, box office not great, the reviews were like, the writing in this movie's pretty not good, but my God, Jason Momoa is unbelievable. And Vin Diesel, who's also the main producer on this franchise, he's like, you know what I should do? Be petty. And he basically comes out and is like, Jason, oh, he hammed it up. It was way too much. That was the reason the movie failed. And everybody's like, he was the only thing that was praised.
Yeah, he carried that movie. Yeah, anytime any other actor comes in and they're successful or they have, like you said, they have good recognition for whatever role they played in the franchise, whatever movie it may be, he gets petty, he gets jealous, and he's like, well, I mean, it's my story and my story to tell, you know, you're not supposed to get this big from this. And then they starts the drama with them. He's like, I don't want you in the next movie. Then they're like, well, I don't want to be in the next movie anyway. And then they're like,
yeah,
well, I actually do want you in the next movie though. Cause like, we like your character. It's like, oh, you just said you hated me. We're like, yeah, but actually for the story to work, we need you to come back. So I love you again. So that's gone on since, what, probably Fast 5? Like, so whenever The Rock came in, like you said, Fast 5 was kind of the turning point of the franchise. Because
definitely.
Yeah, that's when the quality, I guess, gets a little bit better.
And that's also the one where it started really making money. Like, the amount of money those movies were making really ramped up starting at those. Yeah. And I would put money that Vin Diesel has always been a little bit kind of irked by the fact that probably in a big part started happening because The Rock was the antagonist in Fast 5. I think box office improved. He was like, well, we got to keep him in these, but I don't like the fact that like these movies are making so much more money now. But at the same time, it's like, you're a producer. You're making so much more money because of that. So
because he wanted
like
to be
petty,
all him.
Egotistical bitch.
Yeah, it's like he wanted it to be all him. It's all about Dominic Toretto, the main character. Yeah. You know, and then whenever Paul Walker was still alive, it was like about their duo. And then that gets messed up as it goes because they're writing the story bigger, but they're bringing in more bigger name actors. And that's just the way things it gets out of hand at that point. So it's not even in his control anymore, but which pisses him off. But at the same time, like you said, he is producer. So it is a lot of it still in his control. But it's just jealousy or petty bullshit drama. And then you had the whole thing with Tyrese Gibson and The Rock. Tyrese Gibson was being petty for whatever reason.
He's just a loser.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I need... Because he's like lost all his money. So he basically said like, I need them to hurry up the production of the next movie. How dare they go off and first make a Hobbs and Shaw spinoff? I need to make Fast 9 now. It's like, nobody likes you. I guess we think your character in these movies are fun, but outside of that, I don't think anybody likes you.
So annoying. He's more annoying than Vin Diesel, I would say.
He might be to a degree.
Yeah.
But I do think, we're talking about kind of the drama, and I think, like you said, it probably started with Fast 5. It really kind of came to a head in Fast 8. That was the movie where Vin Diesel and The Rock like publicly said that they hated working together.
Yeah.
And that was when The Rock was like, I'm not coming back for the next one. I will do this spinoff with Statham, though, because I like him. So that's where things came to a head. And now I'm wondering, Keith, I think the thing that like shocked me the most is I didn't realize, I mean, my assumption was that that fucking amazing post-credit scene of 10, which this will kind of color our conversation about 11, where Hobbs is back, The Rock is back. I was like, and now that ties into the Dante storyline with Momoa. This is going to be how they bring The Rock back with the family, reunite with the family, and then the final like two movies, they're going to have to fight Momoa. But now it sounds like they're going to resolve that in a spinoff movie with Dwayne Johnson and Momoa and then do something else. So now I'm like, all these stories about like, oh my God, Vin Diesel and Dwayne Johnson buried the hatchet. It's like, is Dwayne going to be in 11 or is he done after the spinoff? Like, it's so confusing now.
And is Vin producing the spinoff? I'm guessing.
That's a good question. I don't know if we know that yet. Because I don't think he produced Hobbs and Shaw. I don't think he had anything to do with that. I could be wrong, but that's a good question. If he does produce it, that might be a good sign of him coming back for 11, but I don't know.
Yeah, because if he doesn't produce it, I feel like he's just going to react the same way he did to Hobbs and Shaw and get pissed off even more. God, what a weird... Yeah, this is not... When you hear about all the things with the Fast and Furious franchise since 2001, that's how old it is. It's 22 years old, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And the whole time you've just heard nothing... Ever since Fast 5, you've heard nothing but just horrific stories behind the making of it and everything. It's not like you hear... You hear all these like sweet stories about other sets like The Walking Dead where everybody's like family and friends and like getting along to make this series. Fast and Furious, you don't hear any good stories really. It's all just Vin Diesel's mad, The Rock is mad, The Rock is threatening to quit. Huh?
Yeah, it just all feels fake whenever they like try and pretend. Which also, and this is what maybe we'll move on after this, but I think Keith... I can't believe I didn't write this down. One of, I think, the craziest things in recent memory for this franchise is Justin Lin, the director that, in my opinion, revived the entire thing. And he's done, like, good stuff outside of the franchise with, like, Star Trek and other things. But he directed Tokyo Drift. That was his first intro. And
my
then
favorite
he
one.
Did... Great movie. I fucking love Tokyo Drift. And then he did 4, 5, and 6. Okay? So that's a pretty good track record. I like 4 way more than most people, and 5 and 6, I think, are the two best ones. He takes a break with 7. He doesn't come back for 8, but he does come back for 9. So I was like, okay, so he's coming back into the fray. And at that time, they were like, Justin Lin's coming back for 9, and then he's going to finish out the franchise. He comes back for 10. He's on set for, like, I don't know how long it was, like, how long they were shooting. It was, like, maybe... A small amount of time. I think we're talking like weeks or maybe like a month. And there was videos of Vin Diesel going around on Instagram, like filming himself, like doing like the annoying thing he does. We're like, we're on set. I'm here with my best friend in the family, Justin. Let's talk about the movie. Justin Lin looks miserable. And then like the next day, he leaves the project. Justin Lin leaves the project because he's so fed up with Vin Diesel, like being out of shape. He comes to set hours late every day. Like... He's just like, I've done this so many movies, I can't do it anymore. So then they bring in Leteria, who's going to finish it out. But, like, that's another point to your drama. It's like, they're, it's so bad on these sets that they're pushing people that have been involved for multiple movies away.
Yeah, especially walking off as a director. Just, no, I'm good. I don't blame him, though. Like, if this dude's showing up just being a Hollywood diva, as they would say or call it, why put up with that? You've already done all these other movies with him, and you already
made your money.
Yeah, you've already made the money, and so I don't need to do these other two or three or whatever. I'm done.
I think like to put a little button on this conversation, I do think it is kind of, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, but I do think it's kind of wild that despite the turmoil that goes down on these sets, we're still big fans of this franchise.
Oh, yeah. It's still, like, they're still fun.
Like, I definitely don't, I would not call myself a fan of Vin Diesel anymore, like, personally, he's awful in these movies now. I feel like he's just phoned it in for the last, like, 3 of them. But the franchise as a whole, I still love it, despite, like, learning this crazy behind-the-scenes stuff. So I still think it's fun to talk about. And with that, Keith, I think it's time to go a little bit deeper. Let's get into kind of our predictions discussion here. Let's keep it loose and break this all down. I don't know. Where do you want to start? I mean, what do you think would be kind of the best way to get into it? Should we kind of start with like a general plot, a mission? Do we like kind of, should we like fan cast a villain and build a plot around them? What do you think would be the easiest way to kind of dive into this?
So yeah, so we get John Cena. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, we get John Cena as Jacob Toretto coming back in the 10th one as, you know, his reconciled brother. And we get the team, and they get sent on some crazy mission in Rome. It's all one big hoax for Dante to take them down or frame them for blowing up Rome.
And they all get separated at the end because of, like, the fallout of that mission. Like, Michelle Rodriguez ends up getting, like, not arrested, I guess, but she gets locked up in this like crazy government facility. Vin Diesel's like, I'm going to go stop Dante. And then the rest of the team has nothing to do. They just like go out for goofy antics to like London and then meet up with Statham and Pete Davidson. And you're just like, why is this stuff in the movie? This sucks. And, but then it all culminating in, you know, we have our first villain with Momoa that's really giving these guys a run for their money. And then that final scene was like pretty different for the franchise in terms of a cliffhanger, which I think will lead into our future predictions of like, You think Vin Diesel and his son are going to escape Dante's hands, and then they do that crazy scene where they drive down a dam while it's exploding. Yeah. But then Dante blows it up, and you're like, how the fuck is Vin Diesel and the son going to get out of this? And then it cuts to black.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, that's a true cliffhanger right there.
Well, yeah, so, everybody blows up. The plane with all the team blows up.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
John Cena on the bridge.
Obviously, they're still alive, the team is at least. But still, it's like, yeah, they definitely do try and make you feel like the plane crashed and they all died.
Yeah. So everybody blows up at the end. John Cena drives his car to sacrifice himself for the blockade, and he blows
up. Holding his cross necklace.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, we also get Charlize Theron back as Cypher.
Oh, I always forget about her.
Yeah, and she has like an epic fight with Michelle Rodriguez in the facility. Oh, and then we also get
Gal Gadot. Oh shit, yeah, I know.
Returning in Antarctica with a submarine.
This is so funny to talk about it live. Yeah, you're so right. And then that, basically, the Michelle Rodriguez storyline, I think, was only introduced just so they could have Gal Gadot come back at the end, because she lost her Wonder Woman role. She's saying, like, really terrible stuff online. So she's like, I guess I have to go back to Fast and Furious. But, yeah, what a wild ending to that. I forgot about that.
Shows up in a submarine.
Yeah, crazy. So I think, you know, we asked the question, but I think before we can actually predict 11, I don't want to predict Hobbs and Reyes. I don't think there's much of a point doing that right now. But I will just, I guess, ask, do you think, you know, because the whole thing was like Dante is trying to torture Vin Diesel, and then once he's done with his torture and his glee, that's when he can kill him and feel satisfied about it. And then the post-credit of 10 was like, but hold on, there's one more person involved in this. It's the guy that pulled the trigger on my father, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So, the post-credit obviously teased his return, and that, like, their relationship would continue on. Again, like I said earlier, I assume this was going to be part of 11. Now it sounds like it's going to be a spinoff, which will end that. So I don't really want to ask, like, what you think will happen, Keith, because, I mean, they've basically, like, kind of told us that it will conclude there. So I guess I'm just going to ask and frame it this way. Are you excited about that? Are you, like, excited about after all the buildup in 10 to then have it conclude in a different spinoff where it sounds like maybe most of our characters won't factor in? It sounds like it's mainly just going to be, obviously, the titular characters, Hobbs and Reyes. Like, does that entice you at all? Like, are you happy about that?
Yeah, I think the Hobbs and Shaw movie was good. So, well, it was okay. But it was entertaining.
It was entertaining, yeah. It had some of the best action of the franchise, I can say that for sure.
Yeah, they were a fun duo together.
Yeah.
So I could see The Rock carrying another one like that, another spinoff like that. And it would probably
this duo would be a very good pair as well. I like the idea of Dwayne Johnson and Momoa. I like that.
Yeah, that's a crazy combo right there. I never would have thought that. Going into the 11th one, I do think it would be cool. Like, it does suck that they won't bring Dante back in that one, probably, as far as
a big
villain
role. I guess
we don't
know for sure, but it's just that's what it's sounding like. That's what it's
sounding like. So, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that he's not going to be a big villain.
I'll do the same. I'll do the same, yeah.
And going from there, who do we want to be our big villain? How are they going to write that in? You know, you called on it earlier. Vin Diesel said there's going to be some callbacks to the originals. So do you think they're going to bring maybe yet another family member from somebody they wronged all these years ago to play the big villain? Or is there going to be a new big villain? I doubt they're going to bring back any villain they already have. Like, they've already kind of exhausted their Charlize Theron. She's not really a villain anymore. The Shaws are with the family now, it seems like.
Right.
And they, you know, they've either killed everybody or turned everybody to go
into
with
their
them.
Best friends.
Yeah. Oh, I know you tried to kill me for like a decade, but now you're my best friend. I love you. Who are they going to make the villain? That's the big question. And what are they going to... Yeah, go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So obviously, if we're talking about writing, I don't think there's a lot we can kind of grab here in terms of, like, their past quality. So right. I guess what I mean is, like, I could easily see them for the last one do a surprise, like you're saying, and just say, hey, one of our family members has another family member and now they're the villain. But I do give them enough credit that I don't think they would do that immediately again. Because, I mean, F9 really was. The entire twist was that, hey, I'm John Cena, I'm the main villain of this movie, and I'm a Toretto. Like, I'm your brother. Like, I don't think they'll do that again. I don't think they'll do that with any family member. My assumption is they're going to conclude the Dante stuff in the Hobbs and Reyes one, which, again, I kind of feel is a little bit lame. I was hoping that would kind of factor in a bigger way. I do hope The Rock does come back into 11 for the final entry. But anyway, I think it's going to be a brand new villain. My guess is there's not going to be much connection between this villain and our family. I think it's good. I think they're going to go different. I think they're going to be like, good. Hey, let's just do somebody that is our antagonist, but we don't know them. And I'm not necessarily fan casting this person. I don't think it will ever happen, but I will at least bring it up in conversation, Keith, in terms of how we could maybe predict who could do it and what plot they are predicting. Because Vin Diesel definitely said, and I think it was after 10 came out, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember when the news came out, but I know he definitely said this. He said that he envisioned, and this is so lame, in a good way. He said he envisioned the final villain in the final movie, basically their magnum opus, the person that would be hardest to overcome, would be somebody like an Elon Musk type, somebody that kind of runs an autonomous, like, kind of car.
Oh, okay.
I'm laughing while I say it because it's like in Vin Diesel's eyes, the most villainous thing they could ever encounter is a car without a driver. But to that point, he did throw out a name, Keith. He threw out a name for somebody that should play this character.
Okay.
And again, there is no chance. And I will eat crow if this happens, but there is no chance. But he said he wanted, for this Elon Musk adjacent type, Robert Downey Jr.
Holy shit. You know how crazy that would be if he accepted that role?
That would be insane. But I do think we maybe could inform our predictions based on Vin Diesel, lead producer. He has a lot of power. I do think the autonomous car idea could factor into this. I don't think you're getting RDJ, because after your box office failure, you can't pay somebody $75 million just for one role. So we need to get somebody to fulfill that maybe has a similar vibe. And that's where it gets a bit tricky.
Well, jumping on the autonomous car idea, I think that's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
If they want to bring back some
like
old, if they want to bring back some old school Fast and Furious, they set something up in a way where, like, there's a big race happening, and the big deal about the race is you got to race an autonomous car, you know, a driverless car. And so now, like, this pisses off Dom and everybody else who are like, racing should always have, you know, a driver behind the wheel. It shouldn't be about the car. It should be about the driver. And then that's when they go.
That's a good line. That's going to be a line in the movie, 100%.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then they're going to go out to the desert again, like the same one they went to in the first one. And they're gonna have to race these autonomous cars. And at the end, they'll get whatever money they win from it, if they win. And they'll go and have another barbecue at the house and, like, happily ever after.
That's where it gets interesting with this type of villain. Because what is the finale? Is it a race? Because with that type of villain, the finale is not because the finale is not a fist fight with this type of villain. It's not going to be like a Dante thing or like a Rock from Fast Five thing. So yeah, I guess it would have to be a race. Which, to your point, they're talking about throwbacks. I could definitely see for the finale of the final movie, the climax is like a legit race. That could make sense.
Yeah,
poetic nature to that.
Yeah.
So I could see that too. I also think that storyline would work with the fact that our cast is now much older than when they started. Not to say that they're all old people, but just like, you know, they started this in 2001. Now here we are. This movie's coming out in 2025 or 26. Like, the idea of them having to confront like that, like cars without drivers, I think would work now that they're like, you know, older people. Like, they've matured a bit. But yeah, I'm still – I do like that as the storyline. I still am stuck on who I would cast, though. I don't know. But just, I'm trying to think about RDJ as the blueprint. So we can't get him. So, like, on a list, if, like, you want to make a movie and you want to cast RDJ in it, who do you put as your second and third option, I guess is what I'm saying. Because you're like, we want RDJ, we're probably not going to get him, so who's our backups? This is something we need to establish right now and throughout there. For the final villain, they're going to spend money on it, meaning they want a star. They want an A-lister for this.
Like, someone who will actually, like, scare the shit out of you, like, with them on screen. Like we talked about, the final 20 minutes of this movie is going to be, you know, they have to race these autonomous cars and win. And the whole conflict throughout the movie is that the guy who is in charge of these autonomous cars knows that Dom and his team could probably beat them. And he's trying to, like, sabotage the family once again in order to get them not to race in this race. So,
oh, I like that wrinkle. So, like, even... Like he, oh, that's a good key.
Okay. He's threatened by them.
Threatened by them and is trying to, like, sabotage them before the race. Kind of your classic thing is like, I might not win this, so I'm going to try and orchestrate their deaths maybe before that even happens. Okay, continue. I like this.
You've had all these crazy villains. You've had Jason Statham as Shaw. You had the other Shaw brother, Owen Shaw. You've had Dante. You need somebody that's, like, actually going to, like, get them in, like, a real pinch where, like, you're not gonna be laughing at the ridiculousness of these movies for, like, at least 10 seconds or maybe a minute. You're gonna have one scene that's like, oh my god, this is really scary. So who's gonna play that part? Like you said, that's the big question. Who can play this, like, tech genius but who's also, like, a gangster behind the scenes too?
This first one's gonna sound crazy. I'm going for an older, grizzled person, to your point, has spent a lot of time creating this, right? But it's also, there's some darkness behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Ever heard of a little guy called Harrison Ford?
Oh my god. That would be so funny.
I will also say that Kurt Russell plays Mr. Nobody in the franchise, but he was not the first pick, Denzel Washington. So there is a relationship there. He will never do it, but...
No, there's no way Denzel comes in.
Samuel L. Jackson might do it.
Sam Jackson would be a good one.
This guy doesn't really do much on terms of film anymore. It's mostly about his coffee brand. Is George Clooney going to make a return to the screen in Fast 11?
Oh my gosh.
He might.
He probably would be a good villain, though, in the Fast franchise. I could see that. I just thought of a younger one that I could see as more of like the...
You say that, because I have my one, so you say
yours. I just thought... I don't know why he... I just thought of it, but... Because he's so out there in real life and he's so into, like, kind of the new, I guess, fads of, like, being healthy or technology and all that kind of stuff, I could see him playing this character. I don't know if he'd play it well, but...
Okay.
And it would be more of a younger tech genius type guy, like maybe a guy in his 40s, 50s.
Which makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Jared Leto.
He also has a lot of weird stuff behind the scenes. And he's, like, weirdly, ever since he returned to acting, he's only taken, like, massive blockbuster roles, which is weird. He was always the indie kind of darling. And then he comes back to acting. He wins his Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. And then after that, what? Suicide Squad. He's playing the lead in the new Tron movie. What a winner that'll be. Like, he's only signing on for block, but Morbius. You know what I mean? So if they presented him with Fast 11, he might do it. But Keith, I have to give you my number one choice.
Okay.
It's somebody when we've talked about Fast and Furious before, I'm almost positive I've mentioned. I think in terms of A-list status, absolutely there. There's no doubt. In terms of somebody that has made cheesy movies like this, he kind of knows how to finesse it. He knows how to bring, like, drama, seriousness, comedy, can do the action, can kind of fit into this world without making it feel too serious or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a legend that they would be lucky to get. They're going to have to pay top dollar. But I got to say it. I've always said that this guy should be a villain in this franchise. And now that I'm learning today that this is the last movie, if you don't fucking get Nicolas Cage in one of these things as the villain, then you wasted our time.
That would be incredible.
Ugh. I would love it.
Dude, I could just picture some, like, certain lines, like, I'm trying to see if I can even do a Nick Cage impression, but like Dominic Toretto, your team is going down. Something like that.
You're going down.
I've worked my whole life.
No, the line's going to be something like, I respect you all, but you're a way of the past. You're relics. Cars don't need drivers anymore.
Yeah. I've worked my whole life for this. I know they're perfect.
He's going to play a character that, like, once, like, as, like, a teen, like, a 20-year-old guy, he was, like, on the sidelines of one of their street races when Dom and his brother were kids. And he's going to be, like, he, like, witnessed a crazy accident and was, like, maybe his dad died during a race or something.
Yeah.
And he's, like, oh, my, I have to make sure this doesn't happen to anyone again. So I'm going to make cars without drivers.
Yeah, they'll have one like you said, flashback scene of a younger who we cast as a younger Nick Cage.
That's and tricky.
It's like him in like a garage, like starting to like work with like AI and stuff like that.
Yeah, I say you just do what they did for The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent and just like do a CGI de-aging, and so Nick Cage can still play the younger version.
Yeah, that's a good call though. Nick Cage in a Fast movie. That'd be so cool.
He's my number one. I know he's on a tear right now with, like, more dramatic stuff, but he's still doing the comedy, so, look, gotta get him in there.
We have a good template here, you know, where it's autonomous cars. There's this tech genius guy, whether he might be middle-aged or maybe older, who knows, depending on who they cast. He's gonna be going after the Toretto family and friends, because they're the best driver, best racers out there, and he knows that they're the only ones that will make a threat to his race to prove that his autonomous cars can beat manual drivers.
I'm actually getting chills. This is so exciting. Because you're right, Keith, like we mentioned, like there could be a flashback where there is a personal connection, but I think I prefer the idea of just there's no connection and he's just like, fuck it. These are the best drivers in the entire world. I'm going to prove them wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, keep going.
And so, obviously, you got Toretto, and Toretto's like, okay, who do we have left that's going to, you know, it's going to be like a team race type thing. So, you got to get Toretto.
I just thought of something crazy.
Keep going. You got to get Toretto. You got to get Han. You got to get Letty. If John Cena comes back alive, I guess you'll get Jacob. And then...
Yeah. Maybe Tyrese.
Roman.
He has to be on screen.
Yeah, you got to have Roman. And then I guess you got to get Ludacris too as Tej. But then.
I know what you're going to say. I'm going to say.
There'll be one more slot they need to fill, and they weren't sure
what
if he's going to make it.
What color's the car?
And then that blue car pulls up.
Oh!
The window comes down, and CGI Paul Walker is there smiling at Toretto, ready to go.
Wow. And Vin Diesel will start sobbing on screen. We'll somehow leave it in the movie. You're 100% right. That's where I was going. I do believe that they will bring back Paul Walker's brothers to do the same thing from Seven, where like they're the ones on set and they just CGI Paul Walker's face over it. 100% going to happen. I know 100%'s all the percents, but I truly don't think there's any chance they don't do that.
And well, yeah, they're going to have something. You know, they're going to try to call back to everything. So they're probably going to be like, we got to recruit another one. And then they'll cut to Tokyo, and the Tokyo Drift soundtrack will start playing like, bow, 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 bow. And then go and find Sean Boswell there still racing, doing the Drift King type stuff.
Back. Yeah, because he is the Drift King. They've never acknowledged that in the later movies. He is technically the Drift King.
Yeah, he's the
Here's
Drift
also
King.
Something, Keith, a little nugget I'll throw out. Whenever they pull up to the line, all of them, because we get this shot all the time in these movies, wherever, like, the camera pulls out through the windows and each character kind of looks at each other. We're going to get Han in his classic orange car, but the twist is, who's in the passenger seat?
Oh.
It's Gal Gadot.
Oh,
they're
for
back
sure.
together. Because that's going to have to be an emotional scene. They have to reunite. Yeah. There's only one movie left.
Yeah. Yeah, everything has to come together in this one.
She has to go from a submarine to a car.
Submarine in Antarctica. back to a car in Los Angeles desert.
I think we've done a really good job at building up the finale. Like, I feel really good about this. Like, I'm getting hyped. I'm not even, like, watching the movie.
Yeah, right.
But Here's what I want to do a little bit, at least. What's the first act? Because how do we from Fast... Again, we've said it like a billion times. I know there's this spinoff that will conclude the Rey stuff. That seems like the plan as of now. But still, you have to acknowledge at the end of Fast 10 that Dom and his son are about to be killed by Reyes in seemingly an unescapable situation where, like, a dam is literally being brought down upon them. You can't run away from that. So, like, how do we go from that to the start of this movie? Because I think what I've kind of accepted, I don't think it's that exciting, but what I think makes the most sense in terms of location is that, boom, John Cena's not dead. He drives up, grabs them at the last minute, and drives away. But, like, what do you think? Do you have a different theory? And then how does that kind of go into whatever 11 is?
No, I think you're probably on point there. I think Cena didn't die in that explosion where he definitely should have died, where, like, 18 cars blew up that he drove it to.
But, it was a big explosion.
It was huge. No one could survive that. But somehow he does. And like you said, Dominic and his kid are going down the dam with everything falling behind them. I think that's... I don't think that's going to be like a perfect ending where Dom like comes driving out of the rubble. I think they're going to get damaged pretty bad. His car's going to get damaged pretty bad, and they're going to have to like crawl their way out of everything. And then, like you said, Cena's going to be there to pick them up and drive off. Go into the plane crash. You know, we left off with the plane getting shot at. You know, the left engine, I think, goes out, and then we see the plane going kind of behind the hill, the mountain, and you see an explosion.
Yeah, they did that on purpose, for sure.
Yeah, so you don't see the actual plane make impact. So probably what happened is, like, part of the plane falls off and hits, which causes an explosion, and, like, the cabin somehow probably hits the hill, and, like, and they slide, like, down the mountain for a little bit, and they survive the crash. Something like that. And then everybody else is getting to, you know, everybody reunites later. Probably some crazy city again, like Sydney, Australia. It'll cut and Pitbull will start playing again. Like, we got to meet up in Australia. And then we got to catch a flight back to L.A. from there. And then that's how they all get back together. And
I kind of like the idea if, like, the entire thing was just L.A. I kind of like if they all were able to escape, if they just immediately, like, let's just reconvene. Because we have the house back as of F9. They have a base of operations there. Let's just kind of go back there. So I would like the whole movie to be there, but we'll see. My prediction for how the team escapes the plane, Keith, I've only seen Fast 10 once, but I feel like I distinctly remember as the plane started crashing, because if you also forgot, Alan Ritchson, a.k.a. Jack Reacher, was a weird secondary twist villain in the movie, and he was the one that shot down the plane.
Yep.
But as it's coming down, they're all running towards the cargo port where all their cars are. So I think they might do a callback to Fast 7 where they all drive out of a plane with parachutes on it. Yep. So that might be what happens. And then you just go, okay, so then we go back to L.A. We kind of reconvene. We figure out what's going on. I don't know how that's going to be an interesting thing. Like, how do they do Passage of Time with Hobbs and Reyes? Like, if you're ending that story there, then it's like, how long does it take for that to get resolved? Because Reyes is there with them. But let's skip that. Like, there's no point in spending time on that. We don't know. We don't know the logistics of that. Let's just say they get back to L.A. Reyes is gone. The Rock might be available to help them, depending on his schedule, a.k.a. also his relationship with Vin Diesel and Tyrese. So we have our villain now. So do you kind of think it's going to be as simple as, like, this guy's like, holy shit, like, I've been paying attention to everything these people have been doing for over 20 years. These are, I wrote these people off for a long time, but they keep proving time and time again, these might be the best drivers in the world. So I'm going to pit them against each other. So then I guess what I'm trying to get, what I want to know is, why do our family get involved in that? If that makes sense. Like, is it as simple as, like, they want to prove themselves? Or is there something, what pulls them into this? Because I think our villain makes sense why they want to get involved, but why does the family want to kind of even acknowledge that existence? Like, why do they care?
So, did Mr. Nobody, Kurt Russell, did he die?
No. Mr. Nobody has had, like, a weird path here. If I recall, introduced in 7 for a big role, comes back in 8. For a pretty big role. And then in 9, he is in it technically. He's the catalyst of the movie. I would say it's pretty guaranteed if this is the last movie, Kurt Russell's coming back for at least a small appearance.
Yes. So where I was leading with him is that whenever they all get back to L.A. and you kind of want that passage of time, Kurt Russell could come in and be like, guys, it's time to just hang it up. You know, like, you like retire, like we're, you know, we don't need you anymore. Like, y'all need to just be with your family. You've been through enough. Like, be with your families, retire, and they're all just kind of like, all right, like, he's right. You know, Dom opens his up, Don and, like, everybody opens up their own shop or whatever, just fixing up cars.
Oh! And, they have to have another shop again. They have to. They have to go back?
Yeah.
Like, Mia's going to open up her tuna fish shop.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, you got to have the tuna fish sandwiches and everything.
And the only thing they sell is tuna fish and Corona.
Yeah, just tuna fish sandwiches and Corona. Oh, man, that's perfect.
But I think you're right. I think Dom will have like an auto shop. But that's such a good call. I can picture the scene now. It's going to start with Kurt Russell, his only scene in the movie, just to be like, you all have done so much for us. We kind of dragged you all into this after you were kind of already, you had found your way back. I'm sorry. You all are free. Do what you want. We don't need you anymore. And I think the team's going to be kind of happy about that. They're going to be like, okay, like, I don't know what to do, but yeah, I guess we should go do our own thing. Yeah. So you're 100% right. And then like, there's going to be shots of them like in their shops, trying to kind of set it up, trying to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
There's going to be a scene where like some like hipster comes to Dom's shop. All right, put money on this, like legit. There's going to be a scene where a hipster kid comes to Dom's shop to get his car fixed, and he's saying things, and Dom's like, do you want me to fix this or that? And the kid's like, I don't know what that is. And then he's like, he just kind of smirks to himself while fixing it to show that Dom is, I don't know, moved on, I guess, or can't interact with the youth, which then ties in to our villain.
Yes.
Mindfuck.
And you'll have little Brian, Dom's son. He'll be little older. So maybe he'll like be teaching little Brian how to like drive and stuff. Like they'll go to like the track and like he'll be like, make sure you put it in third on the turn or something like that. And then
That's a good point.
So and then going into our villain, our techie villain.
Yeah.
He's gonna host a race, like I said, he's going to host a race where it's going to be his automated cars versus any team that wishes to go against him and challenge them.
Yeah. Okay.
But the underlying thing in that race is that this guy has bad intentions. The reason he's hosting this race is so he can get some of the best drivers in the world all in one place. So maybe there might be some terrorist type attack that will be taking out all these drivers at the end of the race or maybe before the race or whatever.
Interesting.
And Dominic and his, you know, new established shop and his team and all that, they're all like, oh, we're going to go do this race. It's going to be fun. Like, we're going to go beat these guys. And then Jacob Toretto, having his background from the CIA, he gets a tip knowing this. Like, Dom, this is not good. We can't compete in this. This guy's going to do something really bad at this race. You can't go. And they're going to get into a squabble like, no, little brother, you're wrong. Like, we have to compete. And Jacob's like, no, dude, like this guy's bad news. And, you know, he's getting all the drivers in one place for a reason. And then where do you go from there?
Keith, I just thought of something so exciting as you were talking. Because it's the perfect way to bring her back into the fold. So our main villain brings them all into one place. Like you said, this is perfect. Executes this act. And who does he blame it on? Cypher.
Oh.
Charlize Theron. And so there is no chance that Charlize Theron will ever be at the barbecue. I mean, you literally murdered the mother of Dom's child. So you're never coming to the barbecue. Yeah. But when our allegiances align, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I think our main villain will blame Cypher. The world will believe it. But our team won't. Because she kind of helped us out a little bit in figuring out who Dante was in 10. So I think there could be trust there. And I think that's how the team really gets involved. I think they're like, well, like they killed some of our friends. Like, I don't think it's going to be any of our main players, but maybe some of those characters from like Race Wars and like the first movies, maybe they get killed. Maybe some of those like old school cameos, they come in, they get killed off. So our team is now pissed. They know Cypher didn't do it. And so they may have to like begrudgingly align with her to kind of figure out how to mess up our main villain. And there's going to be a scene where Cypher is like hacking into like Tesla Corp or something. I don't know. There's going to be a scene where like our main villain and Cypher are like, like, I'm going to hack into you. Because I like that. I like the idea of a villain that, I guess I'm on two sides of a coin. I like the idea of having a final villain that is like not a bad guy, literally just the CEO of a corporation that happens to run like autonomous cars. And is like, hey, you know what would be fun? Like, these people are clearly what everybody tells me. They're the best drivers. I'm going to prove they're not. I feel like that would be a fun villain. That's the only motivation. But I also kind of like the idea of a villain that is like, these are the best fucking drivers. I have to prove them wrong. My cars are the best. I'm going to get them all in one place, kill them. And then like,
yeah.
So both sides work. So both ideas kind of excite me.
Right. And there could maybe be, maybe the techie guy's not the villain. Maybe he just wants to do his whole agenda with having the race, you know, and just proving that his automated cars are better. But there's some other secondary guy
a
who's
CEO
like
CEO above them.
Yeah, who's like, no, I want these people dead. Like, I want the best drivers dead because I don't want anybody to challenge these cars.
Oh,
I want these cars
point.
To come out.
I could see that. I could see that. So this is funny, Keith, because I wrote this question down before we started recording, and I thought the answer we would both agree was like, that's going to be pretty fucking lame. But as we're talking about it, I'm kind of excited about this. So whenever I first read the quote, like, you know, Fast 11, it's going to be a throwback to the original, I was like, dude, of course, I have nostalgia for the original, but I don't know if I care to see a movie like that in 2025. But as we're talking about it, I think there's actually some really fun, easy, and exciting ways to incorporate elements of the original with, like, the racing and kind of just all of that. And it gets kind of exciting. I didn't expect this, but I think as we're kind of predicting stuff, I don't know if I would mind a throwback to the original.
Yeah. I mean, what they could do is definitely incorporate some of the late 90s, early 2000s techno music that was in the first one.
Like, oh, of course.
Kind of, you know, you could still have your Pitbull type songs in there when they cut to a new city. Like,
you better.
One of their 30 cities that they go to throughout every movie. But whenever they're doing some racing in LA, you got to have some good old like 90s techno music playing in the background.
We will.
Because that's so nostalgic from the first one.
I'm with you there. I think the music's going to be massive. This is going to be their biggest. They've had so many soundtracks and so many like individual songs on those soundtracks that have like been written for these movies and then gone number one. I think this is going to be unbelievable. Like, we don't know who's going to appear on this. Pitbull, obviously. Will Charlie Puth do another song where he's like, it's been a long day with that? Probably. He'll probably do a new song or maybe a remix. We don't know.
Right.
The soundtrack will be great. But what I want to know in terms of talking about like returning people, Keith, we already talked about, you know, the Hobbs and Reyes spinoff. There's another person we haven't talked about yet. And that other person, I felt their usage in 10 was so bizarre. So I want to, we need to put some firm beliefs down right now. Will Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham be in Fast 11? Because Statham, they got away with just doing a quick little like one scene appearance in 10. They have that fight scene. He kind of helps them out. And then he's like, oh no, my mother Helen Mirren's in trouble. I'm going to go drive and save her. And you're like, okay. And then we never see him again. So are these guys coming back?
Maybe Statham's the one, instead of John Cena being the one that tips him off, maybe it's Statham the one that tips him
off. Ooh, he has those connections.
Yeah.
That's a good pick. Okay.
Statham shows up at the Toretto residence. He's like, I know I'm the last face I thought you'd see, but I'll have to tell you something. And that's whenever he breaks the news to him, like, this guy hosting this race is not what you think he is. He's got another agenda.
He's going to try and kill all of you. And then it cuts to Dom like, getting on the phone like, get out of there.
Yeah. No.
And then a missile drops on them. But they all somehow survive.
Yeah.
That's a good call. I could see that. We do need one more good Jason Statham like hand-to-hand action sequence. Do we need him in the car again? I don't think so, but we need a good hand-to-hand fight scene, I think, for sure. I don't know the context, but I want him back.
And if The Rock comes back, What do you want from him? Probably another good Hobbs, like just him slugging people.
I mean, all of his stuff is so good. My thing is, I think there are some things to complain about with The Rock. Behind the scenes and on screen, kind of does the same thing over and over again. But when it comes to this franchise, it sounds like he's kind of put up with a lot of bullshit. And I think he's the kind of guy that will come back for Fast 11, even though he doesn't want to. And he doesn't want to be on screen with a lot of these people. I think he's going to come back anyway. So to your question, I'll go the opposite. I think we need one more scene of The Rock driving a car, because my favorite things about those scenes were the fact that he was driving the biggest things imaginable. He was driving fucking tanks. Yep. Like, they were like, The Rock's a big guy. Let's put him in a bigger vehicle. So I need one more of that. I would like another slugging scene, to your point. But he's someone more than Statham. I mean, look, I've loved this franchise since 5 and the beginning, but especially since 5. I want to see him at the barbecue. I don't need Statham at the barbecue, but I kind of need to see Dwayne at the barbecue. I mean, he right. is part of this family. He's been in this for so long. So I need them all to put their shit to the side and have a final barbecue scene with him in it. That's all I need. Just those few things.
That would be nice. Yeah. You know they're going to have a barbecue scene.
I mean, I think that's going to be the final scene. I feel pretty confident about that. I mean, that's how they've ended pretty much all these movies. Why would they stop now at the finale?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a barbecue. You're going to have weird looking face Paul Walker there. You're going <Yes. laughs> you're going to have everybody there. Jacob Toretto is going to be there. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be like kind of like slightly standing off to the side because he didn't film his scenes with anybody else, but he will be there.
He'll be cut in
They'll
there
green
awkwardly.
Screen him in. You'll have everybody. But that does lead to my next question, Keith. And we might not have an answer for this, but I don't think at this point with how the franchise is going, it's not fair to call The Rock or Jason Statham cameos. We can't call those people cameos. I mean, these are big characters in this franchise. Is there a cameo that you would like to see in the final entry? Is there somebody that could come back that you would kind of pop off?
Because, like, we almost have everybody back. You know, we had Han's back. They even brought Sean Boswell back briefly in the 9th one.
Yeah.
I hope they bring him back and have the Drift King have a part in the 11th one.
Need the Drift King.
Yeah. So he's definitely want him. I'm trying to think of any smaller characters, though, that I'm forgetting about. It'd be kind of cool if Eva Mendes comes back as the...
Oh, Keith! You just nailed it. Yes. Yeah. Where has she been?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Cool. She comes back.
That's a great...
The guy that plays Hector from the first one. I think he might have been...
Yes. Because he's been back at least one other time. Because I remember that scene. Yeah.
He's always just like the guy...
He's the character that will die. He's the character that will die whenever Hector dies. Pulls up to the race and then... The attack happens. Hector will die. That's what I was kind of trying to. Okay, 100%. I also think it's a shame that Luke Evans gave us the best villain. It's tricky. I think Momoa is probably the best villain of the franchise. I do think the close second and was the best long before that was Luke Evans in Fast and Furious 6, who is then revealed to be the younger brother of Jason Statham. They brought him back for a really weird cameo in Fast 8 where they just, like, fly into the plane and save Dom's kid. But then Luke Evans has no lines. So I would like him to come back. I don't need him at the barbecue. I'd like to see him come back. I also know that Ryan Reynolds, Kevin Hart, Vanessa Kirby, they were all in Hobbs and Shaw. Who can bring them over into the main franchise? Because we like all of them. It's possible.
Kevin Hart plays another... Flight Marshal.
I also love the guy that I think has been in 3 of the movies now. He started in Fast 4. I can never remember. Shea Whigham?
Name? Shea Whigham is...
From Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
He
I love Shea Whigham.
Plays the guy that like always butts heads with Brian.
Yes.
And he keeps getting his nose broken.
Yeah.
I think he was in Fast 9. So I think he's been in the movies recently, but you got to get another scene with him.
Yep.
But yeah, I think you might have nailed it, Keith. I was racking my brain, like, who would be the best cameo, but I really kind of think it's Eva Mendes. Huge role in 2, was supposed to come back for Fast 8, and then for some reason during production didn't. Gotta get her back.
Yeah. I think Shea Whigham's a good call, too, though. That's a good, it's like, they cut to the police station and they're like, who do we know that knows about these guys? Like, I know a guy. Like, let's call him in. Just Shea Whigham shows up with like still a broken nose.
Yeah.
Like, how can I help?
So I love this, Keith. I think we have like an actually really solid first act and a great third act. The second act is a little murky. I think what it sounds like is it's just going to be after the initial stuff happens, whenever this guy comes in, the villain, and kills our member, not members of our team, but like our team's friends, people that we've seen yes. before. Then the second act is going to be like trying to confront them directly. That's kind of impossible because they have such high standing in society. And then it's going to culminate in the only way we can kind of beat this guy is by racing them directly in the third yes. act. So I don't think we need to detail out the second act, but I do have a couple quick questions. What are you picturing for the final act race? Is it one autonomous car and then our team are trying to, like, just one of them has to beat that one car? Or is it multiple autonomous cars and our team?
I think there's going to be...
That's going to influence my question.
I think there's going to be multiple autonomous cars, you know, like seven or eight of them or whatever. And then you're going to have seven or eight of, like, the OG... Oh. Franchise people racing. You're gonna have Dom, Letty, Brian, Ludacris, Roman, and Han, and maybe hopefully Sean Boswell.
Han 100%. Yeah.
And then so you're gonna have those, you're gonna have the OG eight or nine, whatever people I just named, and then you're gonna have the autonomous cars. They're gonna be going down the track, they're gonna be doing all their normal stuff, shifting, and they're all talking to each other on their little mic things that you never see. And but there's going to be a lot of like sacrifices are going to be made, like, oh, I'll have to cut this one off so you can go ahead.
I like that.
There might be one.
Get at. Yeah.
I was going to say there might be one death out of them. I don't know. Or maybe everybody's just going to have to like crash into other ones to sacrifice themselves. And you know, it's going to have to come out at the end to being the only one left. It's going to have to be Dom.
Okay. And, so that's good, Keith. This is what I was going to ask. This was like the impetus of the question. I was like, so we have our third act, but in terms of, because there are so many iconic moments in this franchise of like people, two people racing, and then it's like, you fucked up, Busta. And then they pull their NOS at the yes. last second and they win. So it's like winning happens at the last second. That's obviously going to happen here. It's going to be between an autonomous car and one person. So my question was going to be, is it Dom? I guess it kind of has to be.
I think,
right?
I think Dom and Brian will be head to head with each other, like talking to each other. And
it's going
to
be the three of them. Yep. It's going to be, there's going to be those three cars left, and then Brian does something to sacrifice himself. Also, because they can't afford to like keep like putting the CGI on his face. And so then Dom has to win. That's kind of what I was curious about. I guess that makes the most sense for the ending, right?
Yeah. Dom gets like overconfident. He's like, we got this, Brian. And Brian's like, no, Dom, it's, the autonomous car is doing this or whatever. He's like, no, it's not. We can both get him. And he's like, no, Dom, it's gotta be you. And then,
I got chills again.
And then it's gotta be you. And then you called up to the NOS, and then the autonomous car hits its NOS too early. And Dom sets a classic, you know, whatever line he says, but
hey, oh, wait, Keith, hold on.
Too soon, kid.
What if the sacrifice is that Brian, I don't know how they would connect this, but it's like the whole NOS thing is the car can only interpret it like when someone else does it.
Yes.
So Brian's sacrifice is he's like, oh, dude.
I'm going to pull a Buster move, Dom.
The chills on my arms right now.
I'm getting chills,
because
too.
Because it calls back to the end of the fucking first movie and like their first race. He's like, but now Brian's purposefully pulling the NOS too soon. He knows it's too soon. He pulls it to save Dom. And then the autonomous car is like, NOS detected. And then they pull their NOS, and they pull way ahead. And that's when Dom is like, maybe he has a couple tears in his eyes. And like you said, he's going to have some badass line. You see the autonomous car about to pull up to the finish line. And that's when Dom calls the fucking autonomous car a buster. And then he pulls his NOS and wins.
Dude, we got it.
That's
we
the ending.
It.
That is the ending of this movie. There's no chance it's not.
Right? And then you can maybe get another callback, like the techie guy comes out like pissed off. He's like, this wouldn't have happened if your boy wouldn't have pulled his NOS. And then Dom would say the classic line like, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. A win's a win.
Exactly. And then there's going to be a scene where it cuts back to the guy and he's like, what does that mean? And then Ludacris, the other techie person, just like punches him in the face to be like a joke moment. Yeah. And you're like, oh, cool. Ludacris punches Nicolas Cage in the face.
Nicolas Cage, oh.
And then we immediately cut from that joke moment whenever the body hits the floor. We cut to the barbecue, the final barbecue.
Yes.
And it's going to be beautiful. I don't even really have any predictions for anything in the barbecue. I think it's just how we have to end it. It's just how we have to end it.
Who do you think would say grace this time?
Oh, Keith, you're asking so many good questions today. Okay. So I know here... I kind of feel like you and I are in a pre-production meeting for this movie right now. And we're saying, you just asked me, so who's going to say grace? We have like the script here. We have a kind of like an open ending. Who's going to say grace, though? We got to call back to that. And you and I are now kind of trying to figure it out. So the obvious answer is Brian. But do we want to do close-ups on his face where he's talking? Because the lips will look weird. And then the other person, and then you're going to be like... Maybe not.
No. So,
because didn't little Brian say grace in one of these movies
already?
Yeah,
the ninth one. Yeah.
Okay. So we already kind of like, we lost that card. But Keith, is Dom going to win the race and then say grace? Is that too much? I mean, for Vin Diesel, it's not. He wants to do both. But I feel like, is that the path we're going down? Is it going to be Dom? Is it that easy?
I think maybe it might be Brian. Like, but... But it just cuts before he says it. It just goes, Dom, like, he's like, you know who's sat at this table all these years and has never said grace? My man, Brian. And
then it just cuts
like the back of Brian's head and you just hear like CGI Paul Walker's voice go, everybody join hands. And then it just cuts.
Or that's beautiful. Or it just cuts to his face because with the CG, we can still do the Paul Walker smirk, his classic smirk.
Yeah, the classic.
So then it cuts to him and he just kind of smirks and then you see he's holding hands with Jordana Brewster.
Yeah.
And then like their kids are there too. And then it cuts. This is another thing to put money down on. It's going to, the final moment of the final Fast and Furious movie is setting up the grace. They're about to say grace. And before the mouth opens, cuts to black.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
God. I was worried about this episode. I was like, are we going to be able to like do this? I think we nailed this harder than anybody else
I know.
Could ever.
I can't believe it. This is awesome.
Like,
I'm getting chills
we nailed
talking
this
about
so,
it.
I am too. We nailed this so well that I think I might get disappointed while watching the movie.
I know. What if it just goes in a total opposite direction?
And we're like, God, how dare they?
Because in my head now, because we just did all of this, I feel like this is going to be the movie. And now...
It should be.
Yeah.
God, it should be. And it's going to cut... Of course, before it cuts over to Brian's face, it's going to cut to Han, and you see... Giselle like sitting in his lap, of course.
Yes.
God.
Maybe The Rock and Tyrese Gibson, Roman and Hobbs have like a good like bro moment to kind of reconcile.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Yeah.
I would like that. Would be cool. All right. Well, I mean, there you go. That's Fast 11, aka Fast X Part 2. This movie's gonna come out next year. Hopefully, maybe the year after, we don't know, but I'm so excited for this movie based on what Keith and I came up with. Like, this is, I think everybody out there listening can agree, this should be the movie. But if you don't agree, let us know. Let us know what the movie should be. But we're excited to see it nonetheless. So, Keith, before we close out, though, you know, we do our Arnie's Podcast Awards. This is kind of a weird one to do awards for because usually the idea is we take something from the movie, TV show, whatever it is, thing that we're talking about, and we give a positive, negative, or something in between award. I want to do something a little bit different. I guess this is technically the Arnie's Podcast Awards, but they're actually today, for the first time, this is going to be the Academy Awards.
Oh.
So think about the pitch that we just gave for Fast 11. What do you most want out of everything we talked about to win an Academy Award?
Okay. I called back to it earlier. Soundtrack would be cool. Like, it just has like the most epic soundtrack ever. And then
it has to.
And then, the most ridiculous and funny one would be Vin Diesel winning an Oscar.
Yep. 100%.
It took 23 years in making this franchise, and I finally got there.
He will give the worst speech that like has ever been given.
And you know he'll say at the end, ride or die.
It's like, okay.
For Pablo.
So, Keith, it's been quite controversial at the Oscars the last several years. There is not a best stunts category, or like a best stunt coordinator, whatever you want to call it. People have been kind of clamoring, like, that's a pretty big part of these. I think we should kind of get an award for that. And even at the most recent Oscars, they had like a whole segment where they acknowledged stunts, but then there was no award. They just like acknowledged. I was like, okay, that's weird. So in my perfect future, where our version of Fast 11 exists, there will be an Oscar for best stunts. And as we know, this franchise is known for iconic stunts. I think that Vin Diesel really wants to do this one. We talk about how in the Fast franchise, if you land on top of a car, that you're just somehow safe. Like, that's a good place to land.
It's a nice cushiony land.
I think, there's going to be a scene where somehow they're trying to infiltrate our villain's corporation. This is the second act, the murky second act that we were talking about. There's going to be an infiltration scene.
Yep.
And Brian, because of his background, he's actually the one that's able to kind of, they get separated and he's able to kind of get to the boss. So he ends up on the roof of this building, chasing the boss down, has a gun in his face, and then the boss somehow is able to disarm him or just, like, do some crazy, weird, like, movie hack where he hacks his gun, and the gun doesn't work. And so now Brian, all CGI Brian, is defenseless, and Nick Cage is the villain, or Jared Leto, whoever it is like, you fucked up Brian O'Connor for the last time. And literally, Leonidas from 300 kicks him off of a skyscraper.
Oh, shit.
And as they're falling, like, Brian's blue car is sitting on the ground, and Vin Diesel jumps out of the 30th story window in slow motion to catch Brian.
Yeah.
And they fall 30 stories and land on top of his car, and they're both totally fine.
Oh, yeah.
And that will win the Academy Award for the best stunt because they filmed it. For real.
Yeah. But it's just Vin Diesel like grabbing a green screen bag because Paul Walker's not actually there.
100%. And he falls like the length of like one step on a stair.
Yeah, that's it.
So good. All right. Well, with that, thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you hit that follow button so you never miss our upcoming content. Also, please share us with your friends if you enjoyed this episode. We'd really appreciate that to continue to grow our show. Please leave us reviews as well. Even if you don't want to write anything, leaving us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts really does help us out. At The Arnies is our social, and thearnies.media is the website. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode. And also, don't forget, Keith and I did an amazing episode last week. We brought back our shitty movie night format, where we essentially just pick two movies at random to kind of figure out, are there pros to this? Are there cons to this? And then we decide which one is better. They both have bad reputations. The first time we did it last year was John Carter versus Ambulance. And last week we did what everybody was asking for, of course. What's the better bad movie? Is it The Happening or is it We Bought a Zoo? So if that title entices you as it did for us whenever we picked it, please go back and listen to that episode as well.
That was so fun. Mark Wahlberg. What? No.
What? No.
All right. And lastly, we want to hear from you. So please send us a message on Instagram at thearnies or email us thearniesmedia@gmail.com. What do you think of the Fast and Furious franchise? Are you in love with it as much as us? Are you excited to never see Vin Diesel on screen again? Anything you say we'll read on the show and rant to it live on our latest episode.
That's right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this weird new format. We had a blast doing it. Hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next time. And never forget,
see you.